Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hello and welcome to the 5 Yard Dynasty podcast. Hope you're all doing well on this rather gorgeous, very, very hot summer's day. Liam, are you enjoying the 2 days of summer?
Yeah, it's extremely hot. And I remember a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about it being too hot and we wanted it to rain. And now it's flipped again. And we're just going to start complaining about it now. But welcome to the British summertime.
I'm never happy. That's the general trend. My wife will say the same thing, but whatever the weather is, I'm never happy. So today we've got a slightly unique show. So Liam and myself, what we're going to be doing over the coming months is we're going to be kind of introducing a what we're calling a format of the month. So this is always going to be orientated around Dynasty, but the idea is we're going to try and bring to you some new kind of league formats, perhaps a slightly different setting, something like that. It won't always be its own show, but just something new that we feel we want to talk about and hopefully bring to you guys to get you thinking about some of your Dynasty leagues and home leagues. So today we're going to start talking about Dynasty Best Ball. And Liam and I got our heads together and thought, you know, who's the best person to come on as a guest when we're talking anything best ball? And for most of you, you won't be shocked. So today we're joined by Tom or T-Strack or Best Ball UK NFL, as I'm sure most of you all know him. So Tom, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. Yeah, just enjoying the constant feeling of sweating for the last few days.
It's nice that you're going to continue the trend of moaning about the weather. So how many? Here's the big question, Tom. How many best ball drafts have you got going on at the moment? Because your appetite for best ball is mind blowing.
I got down to single digits again for the first time in about a month this weekend. So at the minute, I've got 4 or 5 slow drafts on DraftKings going, and then just 2 on sleeper at the minute.
Okay. I have to say, I feel like a degenerate because I basically have always got 1 or 2 drafts, whether they be startups or mocks or things going on. But then whenever I talk to you and hear the volume of drafts you've got going, it always makes me feel better.
Yeah, but the problem you'll have is coming to deal with them in September, whereas I'll just sit back and wait for the winnings.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. So, Tom, before we kind of dive into the subject, I think, you know, it'd be nice for the listeners to kind of know a little bit more about you and kind of your content and that side of things. So, I mean, how long have you been playing kind of fantasy football for?
Okay, so, yeah, I started playing fantasy football probably about 6 years ago now in the kind of classic home league setting, single QB, one flex position, very, you know, working off the NFL fantasy app and nothing particularly fancy. And it was probably only really last year where I went full degenerate when COVID lockdowns happened and everyone started looking for one more draft. And
that was when I first... alone in that.
Yeah. And so last year was where I first really got into Dynasty. Before that, I'd played plenty of DFS and I'd played several redrafts a year, kind of. But now I'm all the way in every format, pretty much apart from Devi, which seems a little too deep for me.
We'll get you there eventually, Tom. Don't worry.
To be honest, Tom, I thought you were going to say you started off in best ball, not another home league.
No, I mean, best ball was one of those formats that I remember hearing about a few years ago, and it just sounded like the kind of perfect thing. It's like draft. And me, one of the highlights of the year was always my home league's draft day. You know, we'd get together, it'd always be a lot of fun. And the idea of being able to do drafts and then not have to worry about the in-season roster management was something that pulled me in straight away. But for so long, you couldn't really do much of it over here. So it was really only last year where best ball kind of sprout up in the UK a lot more.
So, Tom, obviously, if people know you on Twitter, they're going to know what content you do. But for the listeners that probably haven't heard about you before, what is the type of content that you do? Do you do a podcast? Do you do articles? I know that you've got one piece of content both me and Rich absolutely love every time you put out those lovely, lovely stack charts. So what else do you offer?
Yeah, so during the season, I pretty much just tend to write about DFS weekly. I do a weekly deep dive column that seems to grow longer every week, and I really dig in on stats based stuff there. DraftKings DFS. During the off season, I turned back my focus to best ball, and I'm not somebody who like the most analytically minded takes. I can't give you the best breakdowns of players, but what I do from spending a lot of time in drafts is being that familiar with ADP and looking at ADP. It's trying to find ways to take advantage of that ADP. So every couple of weeks, I put out team by team stacking charts where you can see, based on the latest ADP for DraftKings, Underdog, Sleeper, and FFPC, how difficult it is to stack each team. And I don't think before I started doing that earlier this year, too many people had really triggered the idea that, okay, well, we spend all this time looking at ADP, we spend all this time talking about stacking. Why are we not displaying it team by team in these kind of easy bite-sized ways? Then along with that, I write various articles whenever they pop into my head, normally about best ball and specifically stacking a lot of the time, as that's something I really believe help a lot in best ball.
Yeah, I jokingly call you the stacking king, and I think it's a very apt name because, you know, I remember us talking about the stack charts a couple of months ago, and it's, you know, it's a fantastic, unique piece of content, and it's certainly proved hugely useful for me. I'm never going to sit here and claim to be, you know, a best ball degenerate or a best ball expert, but the few best ball leagues I've been in, it's been very useful for all the different, you know, platforms and things like that. Do you have, of all those platforms, you know, there's so many different platforms out there now that you can play Dynasty Redraft and Best Ball and everything on. Do you have a favorite platform?
Yeah, I'd say Sleeper for me. It's one of those apps that I know some within fantasy football community say that the website experience isn't quite as good as MFL. But for me, Sleeper just functions so perfectly for 95% of the things I want to do for it. And this year, with them releasing best ball scoring format, it's so easy for me to host best ball leagues and to say, right, this league is going to be a super flex league. This league is going to be a super flex league with 7 flex players. This one's going to be, you know, any kind of variant on that and tweak the scoring. So it's big play bonuses or similar. And yeah, having it all on Sleeper, I mean, I've got a lot of leagues.
How big is your Sleeper list of leagues? How long are you talking?
It goes down a long way. There's a lot of scrolling.
See, that's where it's a benefit that it's best ball, isn't it? Having to try and set all those lineups on a Sunday, I can imagine, would be very stressful.
Well, that's it. You've just got to make sure the dynasty leagues are right at the top and the redraft, so you remember which ones you need to be paying attention. Put all the best ball down at the bottom, keep them out of the way during the season, and just check on them now again.
The Sleeper, if you're listening, you need to introduce those folders that I've been asking for months in the league menu so you can put them away nicely. So, Tom, we're going to put you on the hot seat here. Give us one hot take. It can be anything, be Dynasty, Redraft, ADP-based, because I know you've probably got those to the back of your hand at this point. What hot take are you willing to give us for this season?
I'm not normally the kind of, I don't throw out a lot of hot takes, and I'm normally on Twitter ranting about people just throwing out hot takes without facts to back up.
Now's your chance.
Because I know you asked for it, I'm going to say that Kyler Murray won't finish as a top 5 QB this season.
Wow.
I just break my heart.
That's shocking. That is fire. What's the reasons?
Right. Well, you know that as a Ravens fan, I'm backing Lamar to be in.
That's fine. There's four Josh other Allen, people that can be in the top 5.
Dak, you could make an argument for Justin Herbert. And then, you know, there's a whole host of other people that sneak in. I'm just so out on the Cliff Kingsbury experience. I remember in his first season, in a game against the Ravens, he kicked 2 field goals inside the 10 or very, very close. Such a painful experience to watch this coach being so timid, and I don't feel like it's gotten any better from there.
That's fair. And
bringing in Dusty Corks of AJ Green is going to unlock the passing game, in my opinion.
I'll be honest, I don't disagree with anything you've said there, but I've been diving into the Warren Sharp football book this week, and in it, he's got a stat in there that in terms of EPA, that Kyler Murray's EPA per rush was 10 times better than Derrick Henry's. And that to me says everything. I think Kyler Murray is an absolute freak with his legs. And I think that rushing upside is, you know, you're baking in, for me, top five play at a very worst. I think Kyler Murray's my QB3 in redraft. I'm very much think he's a top five QB. So as we're talking rushing quarterbacks, Tom, the most important question that we've got for you all evening, your life depends on it. You've got a 5-yard rush to win the Super Bowl. I realised I'm saying this. I already know the answer, but if you can pick one person to have that 5-yard rush, who's it going to be?
Well, I'm going to go against who you think it'll be, and I'm going to say Gus Edwards.
Ooh, okay. I was already penciling in Lamar there.
Yeah, and Val just feed trolls and the whole, you know, he's not a QB, but Gus Edwards. No matter what you need him to get, that man is going to get you 5 yards. An absolute powerhouse, and I was so glad to see we paid him this offseason.
Yeah, no, hard not to love the Gus Bus. I think he's perennially underrated, perennially undervalued, and I'm really excited that, you know, he's stayed in town, and hopefully we'll get some more usage. So diving into then the kind of dynasty best ball. So, you know, it's a relatively new format, I think, Tom. Correct me if I'm wrong, but tell the listeners, what is a dynasty best ball?
So, I mean, you're definitely right in terms of how it's a relatively new format. Before this season, it's been, if you wanted to play it, your options were FFPC, who offered dynasty best ball. But it's quite a restricted format. You have 26-man drafts, but then before the season, you have to cut down to 16 players, which is a really, really small roster size. I believe people have been playing it on MFL. I myself don't play on MFL unless I absolutely have to, because I just can't get my head around the interface. It really wasn't something that you could go and pick up in a lot of places, but now that Sleeper have added best ball scoring alongside the dynasty formats, I think it's really going to kick on and grow. And the moment where Sleeper put out that they were going to do that, the first thing I wanted to do was bring together a group of us who I thought would be like-minded in terms of wanting to play dynasty, but also appreciate the best ball side of it and experiment with that league for this year. So far, that's the only dynasty best ball league that I've commissioned. I'm kind of treating it as an experiment. For if it works well, then I'll start commissioning more of them next season. So, I mean, to give you listeners the kind of idea of how it differs from regular best ball, instead of it just being draft and forget, I felt like that's a little too restrictive, because in Dynasty, you've got so much that you can do, and so much of it is about tweaking that roster over time. So we had a 28-man draft, and then 10 days before the season, we're going to cut down to 24 players. So, and then that set of players, which will then be released into the player pool, will all be available for waivers 7 days before the season. Each team's got one IR spot for the season, and then after that initial waiver run, waivers will open once every 4 weeks. So I think it's kind of finding that balance of sitting back from complete week-by-week roster management to having the benefits of best ball, but still being able to dip in and go, right now I need to make some decisions. Time to sell and build towards next year. Or can I just grab this player off the waivers and be cheeky and get him there before others? Alongside the waivers, there's trading available all year, which might be something that different leagues choose not to use. It might be something that people find a bit too much, but I'm interested to see how it plays out in ours.
So I know you said in there, Tom, that you try to keep it best ball related, but then add the dynasty aspect in there. One of the big things with dynasty is trading, and I know everyone loves the trade. Can you still trade within Dynasty Best Ball?
Yeah, and I think it depends on the format. And I know a lot of people are starting to dip their toes into these Dynasty Best Ball League. make their own decisions about that. For me, that was kind of important because if you get, you know, 6-7 weeks into the season and it's beyond obvious that you are not contending, season is going to be a write-off for you, I think it's important that you should be able to make the trades and position yourself for a better year next year. But with sleepers, complete, you know, user interface allowing you to tweak all these things, I've no doubt that some people will lock it and treat it as a dynasty in the off-season, and then during the season, let it be best ball only.
So is it still, are you in a dynasty best ball? Are you still setting up those weekly matchups? Are you still having those head-to-head matchups? Or is it, you know, for kind of our American listeners, that sort of rotisserie league where it's a bit like the Premier League stuff, where it's accumulating points and then you have a playoffs? How does the sort of that best ball element work?
My preference is always total points scored at the end of the season in best ball leagues. I think it works. It's straightforward. It's going to give you a nice 1-12 for a reverse draft order next year as well. And I think rather than worrying about who you're beating in a matchup every week, it's just score as many points as you can each and every week. At the end of the season, those points wins money.
Simple as that.
Yeah, easy.
So, I mean, So if you were to give us a big sell in terms of Dynasty Best Ball, so what would you say are the benefits of Dynasty Best Ball over a traditional Dynasty League?
Okay, so I think one of the big things with particularly the Twitter fantasy space that we're a part of, everybody has their takes. Everyone likes to be right on their players. Everyone is convinced that they know how that player is going to play out. But it's so hard in redraft or Dynasty right about, say, like Liam, I know you're a massive Amari Rodgers fan. How many weeks do you think you're going to start Amari Rodgers and feel good about it?
Zero. But,
exactly. But in best ball,
don't crush my heart now, Rich. Come on.
Just speaking straight facts.
In best ball, there's none of that worry. So sit back, you've got Amari Rodgers sat on your bench, and then in week 12, when he randomly goes off for 2 touchdowns and 120 yards, that's it. He's in, and you get to take your victory lap on Twitter saying, fit player for Dynasty Best Ball. Didn't have to worry about starting him. And everyone is going to be happy.
Apart from the person that the computer just put him against.
Definitely. But I think that's something which a lot of Dynasty players are going to come to really appreciate about Dynasty Best Ball over the next year or two. And I don't know about you guys, but 10 minutes before kickoff on a Sunday is so incredibly stressful when those late news drops and you're going through and it's like, did I set my lineup in that team? Did I set my lineup in that team? And the beauty of best ball is all taken care of. No matter what happens, you're going to set the highest possible score for you. You don't have to worry about it.
See, I think for me, I don't know if I'm just weird and unique, and I just don't have that stress. For me, I have a process. I do my rankings 90 minutes before kickoff. I go, I finalise my rankings, and then I work through every single one of my leagues, and I set every lineup, and it's very much process driven. And yeah, I'm probably weird and slightly unique in that I completely take any emotion out of it, any stress out of it, because I know my process. I follow my process. I don't like look at other people's lineups and think, oh, I need a bit more here. It's as simple as if I've ranked X player over Y player, I'm starting X player, and it's as simple as that. And that's how I live. So for me, that 90 minutes, yes, it's a bit manic and it's a bit, you know, let's be honest, I'm in far too many leagues to set lineups for, but I try and just follow my exact process.
I just don't buy that this isn't stressful for you, Rich. You've got young kids. I've got young kids. Like, Sunday evening, it's carnage.
Whereas
in the UK, at 6 p.m., I'm either cooking Sunday dinner or try to get the kids into the bath. Try to set your lineup whilst doing that. It's a nightmare.
Well, this is true. I have a fantastic wife. I take myself off and disappear for 20 minutes, and that's what I do every Sunday.
I honestly have no idea how you take the emotion out of it, Rich. I'm there, a quivering mess after the 15 minutes before. No idea what I'm doing. So what So do you go into a Dynasty Best Ball draft with a specific strategy, or do you let the draft come to you? And I suppose, how does that change between normal Dynasty, and how does it like come back to Best Ball? How do they differ, I suppose, is the question.
Okay, so I would say this year I've gone into Best Ball drafts in a much more flexible mindset than in previous years. I think it's still quite a young format compared to Dynasty and Redraft, and seeing more and more data each year about win rates based on how you construct your roster. Obviously, Dynasty Best Ball is younger than that. So for me, it was about going in and trying to grab a couple of young stacks, going in and saying, right, I want to prioritize having two pass catchers who I would call easily, if not wide receiver one, definitely wide receiver two at the end of the year, and their QBs. And with a Dynasty Best Ball draft, obviously you've got flexibility trade around the draft board and make sure that can happen. I think stacking in Dynasty Best Ball is slightly less important than in regular Best Ball, where if I come out of a draft without a single stack in Best Ball, I'm concerned about my team. I know it's become quite an on-trend topic to talk about whether stacking matters or not, but I'm firmly in camp that it does, and I think there's another leader out there backing that up. In Dynasty, I don't think you need to go in and say, right, I need to come away with the wide receiver one on this team, the wide receiver two, and the quarterback. I think, I know the draft we did, Rich, you took Kelce and Mahomes in it, and then later on added Cornell Powell. And that's
I was one pick away from the dream stack of Kelce Hill and Mahomes. That was talking about taking the emotion out. I was fuming at that point.
So those are the kind of stacks that I target more in these type of leagues, where it's like, right, I want to get an elite pass catcher with my quarterback. And then later on, if I can add these boom bust players, who when they do go off, I'm going to get quarterback value and that person's value. And that's, I think, the way to prioritize stacking in Dynasty, as long as you're not slaughtering ADP in several rounds ahead of where you should be.
And are you, For me, we talk about positional value, and you know the difference between a redraft and a best ball league, and how you can have that positional value because of you're not having to try and pick those boom weeks is huge. Do you think in a dynasty best ball there is still that difference in kind of positional value?
I think so, and I think it's much like a lot of savvy Dynasty players see the benefit in wide receivers over running back. It's still prioritizing both pass catchers over the likes of, right, well, I need lots of running backs because running backs get injured. Find later on in that, stock up on them on the kind of late round ones. And, you know, grab the guys like Darrell Henderson, clearly going to be beneficial. It's really making sure you hammer the wide receivers in those mid to late single digit rounds, and probably important to be talking, whereas normally in a 20 round best ball draft, I hate taking more than three quarterbacks, and the only time I'll do it is if I've messed up and grabbed two in the same bye week. But here, it's definitely worth taking that fourth quarterback in the realm of somebody like Jordan Love or Davis Mills by then.
I think it's really interesting that you say about hammering wide receiver, because you know I'm quite strong in terms of my belief in that in Dynasty, you know, 75% of your bench should be the running back position, because it's such a, you know, a volume based position that when we see those injuries, they're the players that are going to boom in terms of value, and they're the players that we're going to see those, you know, massive spikes in value that you can then either use to start or move on. But as you said, with a dynasty best ball where you're not having to try and predict those boom weeks from those wide receivers, it is interesting that that kind of late round wide receiver becomes so much more valuable than those late round running backs.
Yeah, and I think those late round running backs are still valuable. It's just about, for me, I guess it comes down to how you're building and saying, you know, right, if I'm taking two running backs in the first two rounds, if it was a single QB, then it's not coming back to that position for quite a while and saying, right, now I have to prioritize wide receivers because these top wide receivers are going to disappear. And you know, I know you dived into a wide receiver argument lately, Rich. It's like, if you miss out on the top 24 or so wide receivers, for me, it just becomes a sea of mediocrity. And it might get you there, but I'd prioritize those types of guys personally. And then later on, yeah, come back and pick up the group running back who will help you and will provide trade value like you would normally want in a dynasty.
So I suppose one question that I really wanted to ask, because we haven't covered rookies at all so far, apart from you mentioning my love for Amari Rodgers, how do rookie drafts differ in Dynasty Best Ball? Do you only look at the upside of players, or are you trying to find that floor as well?
I think for me, and this is probably still because I come from a Best Ball win now mentality, going to be what's going to help me win immediately. Unless my team is really deep in the pit, it's going to be what's going to help me now. If everything goes right with my team, that's the mentality I would take in the Best Ball drafts. I'm not worrying about Will Fuller going to get suspended again. I'm saying, but when Will Fuller was right, Will Fuller was incredible. And so it's going right. If everything goes right with my team, will this piece be into the winning circle?
And I think that's, you know, I differ slightly with my kind of rookie belief of I'm all about that 3-year window, and I think I'm going talent and kind of potential upside over win now. I'll always take, in my eyes, the better prospect rather than the one that's perhaps landed in the best situation that'll be able to kind of perform year one, I guess. But it's interesting that, as you said, whether it's just a difference between yours and my mentality, or whether it's a difference between sort of traditional dynasty and traditional best ball.
Yeah, and I think that's completely fair. I would say it's probably me trying to play more to what I feel is my strength in best ball, whereas I'm not somebody who watches a lot of college tape. I don't watch film and try to break it down. I won't ever be putting out rookie prospects, because that's just not where my strength lies. So for me, it's coming into those drafts, having spent a bit of time reading about the prospects, coming in with opinions of people who I trust, and then based on the landing spots that I like, then saying, right, what's going to help my team right now? Because, I mean, we've seen it today. How many teams have been ruined by Cam Akers going down injured? I know I've lost 6 teams, but I might as well not look at it again for the rest of the season, because round one, round two, pick gone.
Well, that's, you know, you should be hosting your own podcast here, Tom, because the next topic was to seamlessly transition into talking about the massive news that has broken today, and that's that Cam Akers has ruptured his Achilles, and you've just gone and done that step for us. So, you know, maybe you should be hosting. Me and Liam should be your guests. But what's your kind of takeaway from the news today?
I think it's clearly Darrell Henderson's backfield. He's got the chance to impress. He's going to go into training camp, and clearly he'll have the opportunity. Clearly, they must feel okay with the young options they've got behind them. In I can't remember his name, something Funk.
So you got Jake Funk, which is the 7th round pick this year. You've got Raymond Calais, which was the Bucks 7th round pick last year. And then I know football guys have been banging the drum for Xavier Jones, who was an undrafted free agent in 2020. Their suggestion that he's the 1B in that offense, which, I'll be honest, I count myself a bit of a degenerate when it comes to running back fields and depth charts Seeing Xavier Jones was a new one to me. So I need to go away and watch some Xavier Jones college film, I think.
I think it's been a particularly emotional one for everybody today because it's the first season-ending skill position injury of the year. There's been a lot of tears on Twitter. But really, it doesn't change my approach at all. I'm not suddenly going to start drafting handcuffs for my running backs. I'm not going to start worrying about the prices of running backs who I like. It's go get the guys who you know have league-winning potential. Go get other teams, RB2s, so that when RB1s like this go down, suddenly you've got more running backs going to start and play every week. But for me, it doesn't change anything. It's just the cold, harsh reality that more injuries are coming.
Yeah, and I think it's a particularly emotive one because Cam Akers has been so heavily debated. Obviously, you know, we've seen that pretty tiny sample size last year. People were fully expecting him. You know, he was up in as a late first in terms of ADP, which to me was just absolutely bonkers. But some people, you know, were banging the drum saying that he's going to be a top five running back. I mean, Liam, are you? I know you're not the biggest Akers fan. Do you think, you know, where's the ceiling on Henderson now? It is potentially his backfield.
Yeah, I think Henderson has got everyone to prove wrong now, and I think he's not going to be, say, like what we expect Najee Harris to be. We expect him to be this workhorse back, and if Henderson does go into that role, I don't think he's going to do as well as people are expecting him to. I'm hoping that one of the three we've already mentioned as backups to Henderson now take some of that responsibility and some of those touches away, because if they don't, we've already seen that Henderson does have injury concerns. He last year he got injured a couple of times and it derailed his season here and there. Then he ended up on IR to the end of the season. So I think it's definitely his job to lose. I think the biggest thing for me is, are the Rams going to actually bring in a veteran running back, or are they going to leave it to one of these seventh round picks?
I know, Tom, you were tweeting about it earlier today about how they're talking that the Rams are happy with their backfield. I think for me, I read that as saying the Rams are happy with their backfield going into camp, because I'm fairly confident that one of these, you know, the big names out in free agency, whether it be Lev Bell or, you know, Adrian Peterson or Todd Gurley coming back for a reunion, that those guys aren't interested in coming and spending, you know, a month of training camp. And quite frankly, all they're going to do is they're going to come in and take snaps off seventh round rookie picks, undrafted free agents that could potentially show you something. So I'm fully convinced that the Rams will add one of these veteran pieces, those big names that are sat out there that, you know, are quite frankly probably over the hill and not going to do anything. But I'm convinced they're going to add one. But I don't think we're going to see it for at least probably a month, if not closer to two. And then it'll be a, you know, last week of the preseason as we're getting towards roster cutdowns. I think they'll probably add someone then. Do you think that that's the case, Tom, or do you think they'll add someone sooner rather than later?
I think you're completely right with that, Rich. I think the Rams aren't asset rich. You know, they've traded away all their picks. They can't afford to go out and trade for somebody. They're uptight against the cap, and so all the talk that, you know, the salary cap isn't real, We've seen it. They lost their safety to the Browns. They're struggling to add other players. I can't see them adding anyone of note. And yes, you could say Todd Gurley or Lev Bell or, you know, one of the Texans running backs when they get cut could come in and do a job there. I think the Rams' approach should be to sit back, let it all shake out, see what happens elsewhere, and then pick up somebody on the cheap and roll with that behind Darrell Henderson.
Completely agree. I did see someone propose that the Rams trade a third round pick to the Jags for James Robinson, which I'd love to see, purely because I think Twitter would literally implode. But there is no way the Rams have got the draft capital to be throwing around third round picks for someone like a James Robinson.
think you got more chance of seeing somebody like Melvin Gordon end up there.
And let's be honest, someone like Melvin Gordon could easily be, you know, a cap casualty, could easily be a training camp cut if Javonte Williams shows out as the real deal and the Rams can add someone like that for next to nothing. You know, we see it every year. You see it every year, you know, Lev Bell getting cut by the Jets and he, yes, okay, he didn't do anything for the Chiefs, but, you know, he went and added himself to the Chiefs and was basically free for the Chiefs. That was a very cheap contract they ended up adding for.
Yeah, and importantly, killed Flair's value.
Very true. So, most important question as we're a dynasty show then, guys. So what are you guys doing in terms of Akers' value? What are you doing with him if you roster him? And equally, what are you then doing with Henderson?
I mean, for me, I don't own Akers in any dynasty leagues at the minute, so it's not a problem I'm having to worry about. But I'd be concerned about a running back coming back from an Achilles. And in the best ball leagues I'm in, I say, fortunately, I'm just kind of writing those ones off already as a boss.
What about you, Lim?
Yeah, so I'm the same as Tom in dynasty leagues. I haven't touched Akers, that is ADP. I think if you've got him, you've got a hold at this point. I don't think selling him now is going to do anything. And then Henderson-wise, I think it's wise to have a look outside of or at your league and see whether you can try and trade him for a peak value, really, because he could go up if he goes mental during the season, but equally, if he doesn't, he's going to drop in value by a lot. So what are you thinking about, Rich? Do you agree with those sentiments?
So for me, I'm properly scared about Cam Akers. I'm pretty much, I'm not panic selling, but I'm going to try, if I'm honest, and get whatever I can for him. I just to give you an idea, I dropped him. He was my RB13 in my ranks. He is now my RB39. I just don't see a world in which he maintains value. I think that this is, you know, yes, he's young. Yes, he's early in his career. Yes, he's going to miss his second year. He'll be back for his third. But for me, running back is a position of what have you done for me lately? And running back is so important in terms of explosivity. And we've just not seen people recover from this Achilles injury. So for me, you know, I've seen people saying I wouldn't sell Akers for a first in Superflex. If someone's offering me a first for Akers, I'm absolutely biting the hand off.
Yeah, you know, I'm snapping that as well.
To be brutally honest, if the best I can get is a second round pick for Cam Akers right now, I'm taking it. I think you can get more than a second round pick for Cam Akers because I think he still holds that name value. I think people will think, you know, it was like Barkley last year. Oh, well, I'll wait a year and he'll come back and I can still go and buy him. But for me, I'm properly scared. And I think that it's a case of I will get whatever I can for Akers right now. And if that's, you know, a second plus, then I'm quite happy. Quite frankly, I'd rather take someone like a Mike Davis straight up over Cam Akers right now, because at least I know I'm going to get a year of usage out of Mike Davis. I have no idea with Cam Akers.
I think you have to kind of consider when he's going to be fully recovered. You're talking about an 8 to 9 month recovery period. And by that point, the Rams are going to be gearing right up for the draft. You know, they're going to be past the draft. They're going to have to make decisions by then where they're going to keep their Errol Henderson. I'm sure, Rich, you know better than I do what his contract status is, or whether to bring in somebody else. And I wouldn't be confident that next March, April, in there, with complete confidence in Akers' role.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Akers should have some security because he's obviously got his 4-year rookie contract. He's not a free agent till 2024. Obviously, Darrell Henderson was drafted the year before, so he's a free agent in 2023. So chances are Cam Akers is likely going to come back and have 2 years left on his rookie deal. The question I've got is that, yes, this is a 8-month recovery. Not, I've seen 8 to 12 months quoted around. But that's then to back play him. That's not to fully fit and, you know, back at his elite level. We talk about an ACL being an 18-month injury when you're back to full fitness. And yes, Cam Akers could easily be back playing in time for training camp next year, but is he going to be Cam Akers again? Or is he going to be a slight shell of himself? And for me, I'm quite frankly, as I said, I'm properly scared. I'm getting out where I can. I don't think I need to sell him as cheap as I would, but to be honest, as I said, I'd take a second for him. In regards to Darryl Henderson, how high are you jumping on him, Tom? Do you think his ceiling? I've seen, high end RB2 value quoted around. Where do you think he can go? What would you be comfortable paying for him in a dynasty format?
I mean, I'm not the best at trading in dynasty formats. That's definitely a weakness within my game and something I need to pay more attention to. But to give you an idea, in the best ball street, before we jumped on, I was watching the Underdog Fantasy Show, and Hayden Winks, somebody I respect an awful lot, said he would put him as high as RB15 for this year. Seems high to me. When it happened, I thought that by the end of today, we'd start seeing Darryl Henderson going in the sixth and seventh round, which seemed about right in that kind of area where Miles Gaskin would be going before you get the likes of Michael Carter, and starts getting a bit grim. But already people are taking him in third and fourth rounds. And
that is outrageous.
Yeah, and there's been so much writing this year about the running back dead zone and how many failures come in that area every year. And I'd be surprised if this time next year, in best ball specifically, we're not looking at both Cam Akers and Darryl Henderson fitting into that running back dead zone between rounds three and rounds eight. Both being complete avoids. In dynasty, like you say, time to get rid of him.
Yeah. What are you selling him for, Liam? What would you be comfortable letting him go for?
I think, to be honest, at the moment, I'm probably letting him go for any first that comes my way. If I'm not getting offered a first, I'm probably holding until the season, until someone has another injury on their team and they feel like they can push, and then I might sell him then. And I think that's where I kind of am with Akers as well. Maybe the price is different, but I think if you hold Akers till the off season next year, when he is coming back, all those workout videos are coming out saying that he's in the best shape of his life and he's making some cuts and whatever, that's when I'm selling. I don't expect to take either of them into next year, put it that way.
Yeah, I think for me, I'd be happy paying a second for Darryl Henderson right now. I've got him ranked in my tiers, so he's the tier below Michael Carter and Trey Sermon. So obviously they were kind of early second round picks last year, so I'm happy paying pretty much any second for him. If someone's offering me a first for Darryl Henderson, I'm snatching their hand off. I've seen a few people saying that on Twitter today. Give me any first for Darryl Henderson, quite frankly. I think that's outrageous if you're able to get that. I do think it's interesting. This is, something we had, a chat we had earlier with Murph, in terms of, I think at the moment, people aren't panicking with this injury as much as they would if it was in season. I think, if you see a big running back go down in season, there is mass panic and you see trades flying around all over the place. I think at the moment, if someone had Cam Akers on their roster, then they're looking at their bench and they're probably looking at a Mike Davis or a James Conner or someone like that and going, oh, actually, I can just pencil him in and I can make do. I think because we're not in season, because those, fringe RB2, RB3 types aren't not producing, those rosters aren't feeling those pinch. So I think you're not, whilst people think, oh, I can go and buy Cam Akers on the cheap, or I can, sell Darryl Henderson massively over the top, I think people aren't feeling the pinch because they're not having to set those weekly lineups. And I think that for that reason, they're probably both a hold. But as I said, I'm quite keen to get rid of Cam Akers because I'm very concerned. So, Tom, I mean, remind us where can we read your work? Obviously, we've talked a little bit about your stack charts. Where can everybody see them?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter pretty much all the time at BestBallUKNFL. My team stacking charts are always pinned to my profile during the off season. You can find a thread of them for each different format, depending which site you want to use them for. Let's see, there's best ball for underdog, for DraftKings and FFPC, or you can find sleepers, superflex format as well, which is handy, particularly if you're going into redraft season now. That redraft full PPR stack will help you no end there. Or you can find my website, nflbestball.co.uk, and on there you can find a variety of articles with intro to best ball, or whether you're looking to join a league. I have quite a few leagues through Sleeper, and you'll be able to find out more information on there.
Fantastic. And and before we go, Liam, we've you know, we're proud to tease the 5 Yard Rush listener leagues. So we're going to have, I think it's 16 leagues in total. I think 15 or 16. They are going to be, everyone is a slightly different format. There's going to be a sign up page on the website. So we have got Flex Frenzy. There's going to be Franchise Frenzy. There's going to be Touchdown Only, a very old school league. We're going to have IDPs. I know Liam's going to run an auction league. I'm going to be running a blind auction league, which I toyed with last year, which was great fun. But we are also launching, Liam, our Dynasty Listener League. So did you want to, I guess tease a little bit about perhaps some of the format that we're going to have there?
So me and Rich have been extremely, I wouldn't say argumentative, but there's not a better word for it. We've been trying to figure out how to get a dynasty format to have turnover for the listeners. And so what we've come up with is to have the bottom six teams, so the six teams that don't make the playoffs, we'll have those owners removed and we'll replace them with new ones. And there's going to be an element of a dispersal draft or stealing players. I'm not going to tease much more than that, but it's going to be extremely fun. And I have no idea how it's going to turn out until we've played through year one. But I really like the idea that we've managed to put together.
It sounds like, Liam, I'm far more confident in this format than you are. I've been toying with it for a while. I think it's fantastic. I love the idea of a dynasty relegation league. It's going to be pretty wild. But let's just say fingers crossed that we make it through the first year, because it'll be a bit disappointed if it's a dynasty listener league and we get relegated.
Yeah, I mean, if we do get through the first year, we're definitely going to have it as a dynasty format of the month podcast and talk all the way through that.
Definitely. But thank you very much for joining us, Tom. It's been fantastic having you on. In all seriousness, guys, if you're not, reading and using Tom's content, it is very useful. I tried to use it in my Scott Fishbowl draft. I'll be honest, I didn't get the stats I wanted. But I'm sure I'm going to use it in my FFCC and Warrior Bowl and Scott Rains Bowl, all these drafts that are coming up over the next week. So go and check out Tom's work. It's been fantastic having you on, Tom, and we will see you again next week.